Hello, 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 and welcome to the First Taste reading series on the Day Beautiful podcast feed. I'm Adam Fitcavage, and on this version of the podcast, I invite a writer to read from their debut book so readers can get a first taste of exactly what they're in for. If you like what you hear here, check us out on daybeautiful.net and on all social media at daybeautiful. Today's guest is a mixed-race Japanese-American writer who holds an MFA in fiction from NYU. Her work has appeared in or is forthcoming in the New York Times' Modern Love column, the Gettysburg Review, Barrel House, The Common, Chicago Quarterly Review, Joyland, and elsewhere. Her stage musicals and plays have won numerous awards, and her debut short story collection, Women in Peril, is out now. Please welcome Jessie Wren Marshall. Hey, Jessie. How are you doing today?
It's a beautiful sunny day here in Ahualoa, Hawaii, so I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for having
yes.
me.
That's so good to hear. Before we start recording, a little behind the scenes for the listeners. I live in Denver and it was sunny until we started recording, and then a downpour knocked out my Wi-Fi. And so here we are together after you're enjoying the sun though, which I'm happy
yes,
for.
I think Denver also gets a lot of sun, right? So
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
You can take it for a minute. It's all right.
I know. It's just a crazy day. But we're not here to talk about weather, even though it's probably one of my favorite things to talk about. I'm becoming that person in my mid-30s. We're here to talk about your debut book, Women in Peril. Tell readers a little bit about it.
Sure. It's a short story collection, and it follows different women jumping between different genres, dipping a little bit into speculative fiction. Some stories are more realistic, but what unites them is that it's really funny, it's feminist, it's really trying to reflect a little bit on what the experience is of being a woman in the world today.
Yeah, definitely. What I loved about it was how weird it is. Like, you know, it's like you do a lot of cool things. And first taste is usually like just like hopping right into the reading. But I'm curious, like, what is your perspective on writing stories? Like, why do you write stories?
That's a great question. I'm not sure that I know the answer, and that's kind of why writing stories is so interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
I think there's always a question that I'm pursuing, and that might have something to do with why is the world like this, or why am I like this, or why are people like this? And because I don't know the answer, I have to explore it through fiction. And for some reason, fiction just works for reflecting the way that things are complicated and beautiful and ugly all at the same time.
No, most definitely. Yeah, I love that. I think, yes, I will not bug you about things. I will want to know what you're going to read, because like that's why you invited you on. What are you going to read for us? I'm so excited to hear you read, because like reading it myself on the page is one thing, but then like hearing the writer like bring it to life is probably my favorite thing on the planet. I love live events. I love reading podcasts. So what will you be reading for us today?
I'm going to read a little bit from a story called The Birds in Trafalgar Square. And, you know, I've been reading a little bit from the book here and there in the weeks coming up to publication day. And I've usually read one of the more genre-esque stories, something that has a little bit more of a hooky plot to it, a high concept kind of push. And then I remembered I'm really fond of these other stories that are more about character and language. So I'm going to read a little bit from the middle of that story.
All right. Well, take it away. I'll let you get to it.
I took the train back to London for two reasons: to pass through the Channel, and because there would be more room in the carriage to hang the Versace. When I got back to Shoreditch, I wanted to see how it looked in my own little flat, in my own rented mirror. So I zipped it up and twirled. The dress looked like money. Bright white money. And so did I. I wore it that night to Metropolis. The dress did all the work. It greeted people and drew them closer. It caught their attention and reflected what they wanted. By the end of the night, I'd given 12 dances and spent 2 hours in a private room with a group of financial planners and a slender Bulgarian. The Versace didn't come off easily, but that turned out to be a good thing. I pulled the zipper down slowly, and the men stared at the triangle of flesh, watching it grow bigger. By the time I was naked, a full minute had passed. I turned to face them and got on my knees, giving a slow rise until someone's nose was between my breasts. Then I got dressed. I felt confident putting the Versace back on, even though the tightness of the fabric should have made this awkward. Sometimes I asked the men to help with the zipper, which they were more than happy to do. An hour before last call, the good-looking guy came back into the club. I didn't approach him, but made sure he saw me before I went upstairs. Within minutes, he came up beside me, and I told him it would be 20, not 10, because he'd been away for so long. Absence tax, I said. He didn't argue, but followed me into a private room and sat on one of the benches. I looked at the mirror on the ceiling. Up there, I looked like someone else entirely. I did my little show with the white dress, but let it last longer. And when I was down to my G-string, I turned to the man and asked if he wanted to see everything. I think I'll stop there.
As you took that pause, I was like, oh, Jesse is stopping. This is a good spot. Yeah, terrific. I think I'll ask you a little bit more questions because it was a little shorter reading and I have you, and then you might as well. This is my podcast.
Please.
I do what I want.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So one thing that fascinates me is the idea of location. That story was set in London. You are in Hawaii. Do you feel you can write about anywhere, or do you have to be in a location to inhabit it, or do you need to be in the location and then far away from it to finally write about it? Like, you know what I mean? There's a lot of things. How do you write about place?
Yeah, well, it would be difficult to have to be there. One story takes place on a spaceship.
Yeah.
I've never been on one, I have to say. Yeah, I think that there's something to the last thing that you mentioned, which is being in a place and then leaving it and getting that little sense of distance, that schism between yourself as you are now and as you were there. It's really interesting to write into that space. And there's a lot of writing that I'm doing about Hawaii right now. There's not that much of it in this story collection, but because I'm writing about Hawaii right now, I know there's going to, in the near future, be a time when I need to spend a little bit of time and space away from this place, because you can't quite see it clearly unless you get that distance. And it's also really hard to encapsulate a whole place.
Yeah.
In a story. I think in a novel, it's a little bit easier because you can show many different sides, but a story is so incredibly particular to its constraints.
Yeah, are short stories, are stories in your future, or is a novel in your future? What is interesting you right now?
Definitely, I will never leave short stories. They provide a wonderful kind of like a deep dive into a very particular voice, a very particular style. And they're also a really wonderful way to experiment with new forms. So I think just as an artist, that's something that I'm always going to need to go back to fill my tank.
Yeah.
I am working on a novel that takes place in Hawaii right now. And that's very exciting. And I also feel a great responsibility to get it right.
Yeah.
Not only because it's my first novel, but because I love Hawaii so much and there are so many fascinating stories and people here, and I want to honor that. And it's also a cli-fi novel, so there's that added element of social responsibility. And, you know, I never want fiction to be pedantic, certainly not mine, but at the same time, the themes that are in that novel are really very important to me as a human.
Thank you so much to Jesse Wren Marshall for joining the Day Beautiful First Taste Reading Series to read a story from her short story collection, Women in Peril, out now. Get it at your local independent bookstore or at bookshop.org. You can find her at jessewrenmarshall.com, on Instagram at jessewrenmarshall, or on Twitter at jessewrenm. You can find Day Beautiful at daybeautiful.net and on all social media at Day Beautiful. And as always, I'm Adam. This is Day Beautiful. And you're all beautiful.